Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
All right. Hello and welcome, Army fans. We're back for another week of the Ask for Football Army Football Show. I am James. I am finally off the road and back in Texas, my new home. And Dan is in coastal Connecticut. Dan, how are you doing?
Never better. Well, I guess I've been better, but I'm doing good. And thank you for asking. It's Monday, kind of a weird week. So we're a little off. And as usual, it seems like three quarters of the AFF crew is traveling. But what can you do?
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be standard. I will say, so the Kansas State game and the North Texas game now, my sister committed a cardinal sin and decided to get married during a football Saturday, and that was the Kansas State game. And then we had to baptize my godson on this past Saturday. So two of the last two games I sort of half paid attention to as they were ongoing, and then had to rewatch them afterwards. But what can you do? I'll tell you what you can do. You can listen to Dan tell you all about our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley.
Friends, Jocelyn Bradley has re-upped with Ask for Football for another year. So if you are looking to PCS to the Fort Bragg area or anywhere else in the country, have we got the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her career in Army logistics. There she discovered a passion for making a difference in people's lives. She is committed to helping her clients find their dream homes when they're in the market and to selling the hell out of your home when you're trying to get that thing off your hands. She provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Why is this important if you live anywhere else in the world? Because Jocelyn has an extensive network of veteran realtors, which is to say experienced realtors, who can support you if you're relocating somewhere else in the country. Like, we don't know where the Army or hell, maybe even the Navy is sending you this week, this month, or this year, but Jocelyn can help you find somebody that you can trust in that neighborhood. So if you are getting ready for a permanent change of station, Jocelyn should be your first call. She's decided to support us here at Ask for Football. She's the right person to get you into your home of your dreams. And guys, it couldn't be easier. Just go to askforfootball.com, find her little business card, click on it. You can read all about Jocelyn. She'll tell you a little story there, and then you'll be talking to her in a couple of hours. And she will work with you. So that's it. There you go.
All right. And now let's make sure this is live for everybody right now.
This is live for everybody. We are public.
On video,
audio, what have you. Yes.
All right. So if you are not a member of the Firsty Club, this is what you're missing out on. All right. I now have a fully furnished studio here, finished off with a class pistol, a WKDT on air sign, and a plane sign that they were going to throw away before I snagged it. So if you want video live every week, if you want to interact with the show like you're able to this week on the short week, go ahead and join the Firsty Club. They get to do it every week. Plus, they get the game day chat. Plus, they get all the access to Lynn Ferns photography. So go head over to astrofootball.com/subscribe and check out our Patreon levels there. All right. North Texas preview. We good?
Yeah. Review. We are not previewing. We are
right. But we're good, right?
We are good. Yes.
Okay.
Rob says hello from Orlando.
There you go.
And Ray, I don't know what the hell that says. I see an FLIPL.
Oh, James Football. Future for the, oh, that's okay. I don't know if they had those when you were in the Army back in the 1860s, but that's that is a, for those listeners and viewers who don't know, and I shouldn't even know this anymore, but that's an investigation. I don't know what it stands for. It's an investigation into missing property, which is why you always keep your, what are they called?
Ray translated into hieroglyphics because it's a reportive service.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Oh, yeah. So what do they call those things?
Property
receipts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forget. There's a term for
handbill. Bill. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. All right. So, game, you know, a lot went on, really bad start. Lots of turnovers. They were down 21-0 quickly. They finally get a touchdown, on a 75-yard fullback run, which is, I feel like, the most 2025 Army thing that could happen right now. Defense sort of struggled. We'll talk a little bit more about it, but a lot of that, I think, had to do with the fact that they constantly had short fields. And Helms gets pulled is the big story of the game, I believe, at halftime.
No, after the third interception.
Okay, so he fumbles the ball twice. Once is just a straight fumble. Once is on a pitch, which we can talk a little bit about. Then he throws an interception. Then he gets pulled, and Duane Coleman comes back in. So we're playing hot potato with the quarterback right now. We'll see what happens next week. And then I think it's worth having a little conversation after the review about where we think the strengths and weaknesses of those quarterbacks are and what that looks like. Coleman looked really good coming back.
Dude, he killed him. It was unbelievable.
He looked really good. He had a couple of really good passing attempts, especially towards the end of the game when he needed to. Finally dethroned Noah Short as the top passer for Army on the year. So congrats to Coleman for that. All right, so it's 28-21 at some point, and then they needed one more stop. They couldn't get it late in the game. They took a long time. They had like a 10-minute drive or something like that. It took a long time on a drive in the third quarter when they were down.
But that was important because the defense had been on the field almost the whole first half. So
they had just had halftime, but they did chew up a lot of clock when they needed to come back. It ended up not mattering. They came back. There were a lot of angry North Texas fans because the refs had some questionable calls. I think one of them was questionable and the rest of them were good calls.
Well, there was at least one in both directions because they also missed a dreadful pass interference call on that pick.
So. Sure. I think they took 7 points off the board for North Texas with the phantom holding call. But that said, there were a lot of complaints all day coming from North Texas Twitter, and most of them were not founded. They end up tying the game up at the end. I have some thoughts about how that last series went that I'd like to get into. They go to overtime and they can't make it work for the second straight game at Mikey. They lose in an overtime game. Let's start, Dan. Where do you want to start? You want to just go straight to takes, or do you want to touch on one of those subjects?
Let me give you my thoughts on the game, and we can sort of tee up some different stuff from there because we saw a lot and it was insane. So some of it's worth talking about. I mean, there was a lot that was good in the game. So I guess to focus on the positive, you know, the Black Knights ran for almost 400 yards, 5.7 yards per carry. It's freaking crazy to see that in a loss. Like, that's insane. But the defense also gave up 230 yards rushing on 5.5 yards per carry, which is freaking crazy when you also let them throw for 250. I mean, the game saw almost 1,000 yards of total offense. And statistically, I do understand that the teams were dead even at the end of the game. So, you know, it was a shootout. And on that basis, maybe the three turnovers were the differential. But in my own mind, I can't decide if three turnovers is worse than allowing, you know, 5.5 yards per carry, it's, you know, on the ground and just getting blown off the ball for the most part. So that was definitely what I wrote about in my column. So a lot of guys in the first team club have been saying it feels like 2023 all over again. You know, they turn the ball over again. St. Bryce and Daly turned it over, God knows, in ULM against Boston College, not so much against UMass, but they did give those three games away, and this is kind of how it feels this season. But they also got the miraculous road win against, you know, the best UTSA team we've seen in a while that particular year. So there's definitely a good team in there somewhere, but man, the mistakes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Army loses. Well, we'll talk more about that at the end. Let's get into a couple things. First of all, the drive at the end of the game. I was not a fan of the play calling. You clock it on first down and you're on like the 4 yard line.
They were on the six.
The six.
It actually makes a huge difference, though, to be on the six.
No. That's fine. That's fine. So the 6 yard line, you've clocked the ball. You have now time to call two plays if you want to call two plays. You have 40 seconds to call.
But you don't have a timeout.
But you don't have a timeout. But you have 40 seconds to call.
But you can't run. So you can't run the ball.
You can run the ball. You have enough time to run the ball in the perimeter, get tackled inbounds, and then have a pass play.
There was there's no way in 18 seconds. There's no chance.
Let's look up. I think it was more than 18 seconds, but
I was standing there in the stands because I thought, okay, they need to run it twice. And then I realized that they didn't have a timeout and they couldn't.
No, I think there was enough time to run a play and then to both run and then throw.
Cause if you'd been on the four, I would have agreed with this, right? Because then you could run a pass play from the four and then you could try to run the ball in for 4 yards. But 6 yards out trying to run a running play, I think was a little sketchy.
So I don't think you can rely on a running play from the six. Here's the point. The goal is to have a decision on fourth down.
Okay.
Right. The goal is, I don't want this game going to overtime because my defense has proven that they cannot handle
it. Oh, I see what you're saying. So instead of kicking the field goal, you just take one more shot.
I wanted them to go for it. Now, you can't go for it from the six, right? That I get that. I want to pull this up, though, because I don't want to – like, I want to pull up the exact
– I was sitting right there. I promise you it was from the six.
No. I get this. I want the exact amount of time left.
It was less than 30 seconds.
Oh, it was certainly less than 30 seconds.
They clocked it on first down, and I want to say they had 18 left.
They clocked it on first down, and they had 24 seconds left.
Okay. So maybe you can run one play maybe.
Here's the point.
Then you have to immediately down it because you're going to
You can call two plays. You can call a run play and a pass play, and it's a short out pass play. But you run a play and then you throw it. You run it and then you throw it. And if you don't score a touchdown on the throw, it's an incomplete pass and you have time. And depending on how many yards you got on your run, now you can make a decision on whether you're going to go for the game.
I don't think I agree with that.
24 seconds is too much time to throw twice for Army.
If it's
fourth and goal on the three, Jeff Munkin is going for it.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. And they would run a running play.
Right. So why as a triple option ball club, I'm on the 6 yard line. Why am I throwing to the end zone twice rather than running and then throwing? And I have time to call both of those plays because I just
clocked. But you'd have to stop the clock somehow. And the only way to stop it is to down it.
The second play. The second play is
on first down. You run the ball.
No, second down. First down, you clock it. First down, you clocked it. So now it's second down and goal from the six.
Okay.
And I have 40 seconds with the clock stopped to call two plays. So I wanna run first. I'm calling two plays. I'm calling a run play and then I'm calling a pass play. And I call my run play. It's 24 seconds. So I run my run play. It takes 8 seconds. I get up and I have it. And now I have a pass.
Now you're hoping that those referees will spot that ball before the game ends.
They will.
I have no guarantee that's going to work.
A 6 second play is the average play in football. And I'm running it and it's going to be quick.
No. Yeah, but you got to get everybody lined up.
Yeah, but they're already there. It's not like it's a long game. You have 18 seconds to get the ball spotted, snap it. And if you're just going to clock it, just clock it. But clock it or throw a quick out to try to go to the end zone. The point is, I would have rather them run the ball and clocked it than run the ball and throw. Then do what they did. Throwing twice to the end zone makes no sense. If you run the ball and clock it, worst case you kick the field goal. Best case, now you have the option to try to win.
Well,
if you get enough yards.
All right. So James Vergano points out that throwing was working for Coleman. And they had.
No, like, I get. Well, throwing was working for Coleman in two situations. Number one, when they threw the ball on a fourth and short and scored a touchdown and surprised everybody, and throwing is working for Coleman is fine, but throwing when you're at your own 40 is different than throwing on the goal line.
That's true. But they had the look that they wanted. That ball got tipped in the air. He just
That's the other thing is that was Helms, right? Or was Helms once overtime started?
Helms was once overtime started.
Okay, so, but I throwing the ball on the 6 yard line when I have two downs before my fourth down doesn't make any sense. I would rather see them run it, knowing they're just going to clock it, so that way I can decide on fourth down whether I'm going to go for it or kick it, then take two shots of the end zone.
So let me just say that I understand why they didn't do that, because you're putting faith in, like, do you remember which game was it a couple years ago when the Army guys were like, there was like 30 seconds left, and the Army guys were laying on the ball, and even Ross Tucker was like, you know, Army doesn't have an obligation to get up quickly.
Georgia Southern, I think.
Yeah, and we end up winning that game because they just couldn't get the last play off.
You have 24 seconds to run a play and clock it. That is enough time.
At that point, you have time for one more play, maybe.
Right. No, but that's my point. Is it's going to be fourth down anyway. It's going to be fourth down anyway. So you either get to the yard line where you want to go for it. Because and that's the other thing is
So the part of this that I'll agree with is that they definitely needed to win the game in regulation because the defense was not stopping these guys.
That's the key for this year, right? The defense wasn't going to stop them in this game, and most teams that we're playing this year will have the kicking advantage over us. So I don't want to go to overtime. So play for the win, and two shots to the end zone is not the play for the win for me. But we can move on. That was my first thought.
Galaxy brain take, but okay. I mean, I see your point, but when they did it live, I thought, well, this is the only way to do it. And I'm pretty sure
when they did it live, because I watched that part of the game. That was one of the few parts I actually watched live. When I watched that live, I thought, why are they throwing the ball twice here? This is Army football, but we'll move on. Next thing I want to talk about is quarterback play. So you and I talked a little bit about this offline.
Yes. I have a lot of feelings about this. I wrote about this extensively.
Okay. So I'll set the stage and I'll kind of hand it over to you then. So my sort of overall perception is that when they're running the offense with Cale Helms, they are running a Bryson Daly offense.
Yes.
When they are running the offense with Dwayne Coleman, they are running a Tahir Tyler offense.
Yes.
And you see that in the blocking. You see that in the play call. I mean, my big takeaway from game one was on fourth and short, they were trying to hit the line as fast as they could. When did Bryson Daly ever do that? Bryson Daly would take the snap and stand there for three seconds. He'd see where the hole is.
And then he'd go.
He'd order dinner for later, and then he would go. And Cale Helms did that a lot in this game.
Yes.
So I see a lot of similarities there. I have my thoughts about how Cale Helms is different than Bryson Daly and how Dwayne Coleman is different than Tahir Tyler, but that's my overall thought. What do you have?
So I told you this, and I wrote this. It looked to me like Helms is running a lot more called power runs, and Coleman is reading the defense and doing a lot more option stuff. And I do understand that Helms is making some option reads, especially on the outside. And Jeff Munkin, like I told you offline today, said in his press conference that the missed fumble came on a bad read. And, you know, so obviously there's some option reads going on there. But in the heat of it, you know, that midline option where you have to read the defensive tackle right in your face and either give or keep. That's a thing that if they're letting Helms do it, it's not he's not as good at it as Coleman. So you would like to have him be able to do both, right? Like Bryson Daly could do both. They just play to his strengths. But we saw a zillion times.
I would say with Cale Helms, though, like Cale Helms not being able to do that reminds me a lot of Bryson Daly in the ULM game. Like,
okay,
he got there after a year.
Yes.
But he didn't have it at the beginning.
Oh, I agree, see that completely. Agree completely. Yeah. I'm not saying it's easy. Like, this is not meant to be like, why can't he do this thing that anyone could do? No. I think it's difficult. I just, you know, when one guy comes in and from the stands, the thing that made me notice this was that Coleman, when he came in, he started running like a slow mesh at, you know, it option. You know, midline option, slow mesh kind of thing. And he was obviously reading the defense. And virtually every time, either he or the back hit empty space and got like 5 yards. And it's clearly because wherever the option guy went, the ball didn't go there. Whereas with Helms, he was looking for a specific hole. North Texas, I think, you know, they're a very well-coached team. They obviously were ready for this on film. They looked, you know, they recognized what they were looking at. And then they went and met him in the hole. And that was, bad deal.
James Pagano just put in the chat, why did Helms look nothing like the K-State game? You can feel free to throw that up there. But I'll say, like, I don't think he didn't look like the K-State game other than three plays. Like, he turned the ball over three times. I don't think the Army's offense was struggling to move the ball. I mean, look at what happened once Coleman came in and they didn't, you know, and they didn't fumble the ball anymore. He moved it well. I thought the offensive line did very well in this game. I think there was one play where the offensive line got straight up beat, and it was on the 4th and 1 when they were going for it towards the end of the game and they got stopped. But to me, I don't even think that was their fault. Like they had a throw and catch to Noah Short. They didn't know if it was a clean catch or not. They didn't want it getting reviewed, so they went up and snapped the ball and tried to get the first down quickly because they'd rather that than a 4th and 8 or whatever it would have been, right? So I don't even blame that one on them.
So when Helms
looked good when he was not fumbling the ball.
When Helms came in early, the first drive of the game, they were moving the ball pretty well. And then that was the fumbled pitch. Which happened first, the fumbled pitch or the stretched out fumble?
I think it was the stretched out fumble because the second fumble was technically credited to one of the fumbles was technically credited to Noah Short for a while.
Yeah. Okay. So, anyway,
the pitch was first.
Okay. So before the pitch, they were moving the ball pretty well and he was feeling it. And then that pitch happens. Okay. Then the second fumble, they were also moving the ball okay, if maybe not quite as well. And he's reaching out for it and trying to make something happen. And the ball gets knocked out. I mean, that was a boneheaded decision making, but he's obviously still feeling aggressive. But by that third drive, when he threw the pick six, that thing happened on like 3rd and 15, and they're down 21-7 or whatever. So
the one. So the first one they were moving. Let's see. Then they scored the touchdown.
Anyway, my point is North Texas adapted to what they were running. So when they brought in Coleman, who admittedly runs the offense in a completely different way, it wrong-footed North Texas's defense, and they never recovered.
Right. And I think that might be part of the sort of whatever the concoction for success was against Kansas State, it might have just been that they were looking at film that was an offense they weren't facing.
That's why the backup quarterback is always the most popular guy on a struggling team, because he comes in, they prepared for the other guy. Now something different is happening, and my film study is, if not out the window, less useful.
But here's sort of the last thing I think we should talk about, and it's sort of a two-parter. Army has not been beaten this year, right?
Yeah, I agree with that.
They've fumbled the ball. They've turned the ball over 3 times in 2 games, meaning 3 times each in 2 games, and they've lost those games by margins where if they didn't turn the ball over, you'd think they'd win the game fairly easily, right? They're both overtime games.
Yeah.
So that's number one. That's a positive sign going forward, if nothing else. Number two, the second positive sign. The offensive line between game one and now is night and day.
Absolutely.
In game one, Army's offensive line was getting dominated. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Getting dominated by an FCS team. And don't get me wrong, good FCS team, the whole nine. They looked good against Kansas State, right? Not that there weren't miscues and this and that.
Sure.
There was one play this entire game their offensive line did. Here's how their drives ended. Fumble, touchdown, interception, right? So none of those are the offensive line's fault. And then touchdown, downs, like we talked about. That was the 4th down. And then touchdown, field goal, and then the overtime.
And they barely even went to 4th down. I mean, they only had to go for that 4th and short a very limited number of times.
Yeah, it was probably 4 times plus overtime or something like that.
I think it was all 4 times, but whatever.
Kansas State, it was 7 times.
Yeah.
Army was 3 of 5 on 4th down, and the last one was in overtime. So 4 times in regulation. But I don't like. Don't get me wrong. It's always hard to learn lessons after a loss. It's easier to learn after a win. There's no moral victories here. I get all that, but like if you had asked me after the Tarleton State game, how many, do you think Army's going to go to a bowl this year? I'd say, what are you smoking? I want some of it. And now, I think, if Army executes and can learn to not put the football on the ground twice a game or throw to the defense, I think they'll win a lot of games. I think a bowl is a reasonable goal.
You can't go back in time, right? But it is reminiscent of 2023. And they dropped those 3 games. And then at whatever point, they managed to put it together, turn it around, and they were a completely different team after that.
No, they didn't go to a bowl in that year.
Yeah, but they still, yeah. they won six games. They won all those games, and then they came into the next year and they went 12-2, and it was just a learning process. It sucked, but it was a learning process.
Looking here, I mean, there are one, two, three, four. I would say three games that are Army should win, and two or three other winnable games at a minimum. At a minimum.
Well.
And that doesn't even count the CIC games. So I think there's a lot on the table. But that's enough talking about North Texas, I think. Let's move on to awards.
All right. Hold on a second. You know what? I've just decided we're going to play it.
I'm sorry to all of you for having had to listen to that. All right. So we'll start this time. Dan, you can start since last time we were on the pod together. I did. I'll start with player of the game.
My player of the game is wide receiver Brady Anderson. He was the hero of the Kansas State game for making that catch in the end zone. Not an easy catch. I had never heard of this dude before the season started. We thought Liam Fortner was going to be the number one receiver. And Fortner is good, but he's been out with a knee injury. You know, Anderson runs good routes, actually gets separation from the DBs, which is very rare for Army wide receivers. You know, the pass to win regulation got tipped. He still almost came down with it. That dude, what a good find for the Black Knights out of nowhere. So, yeah, Brady Anderson, my player of the game.
I am going to go with, it's just, I feel like it's sort of a cheat. If you make me pick one, I'll do it. I'm going to go offensive line.
Okay.
And not because of what I just said and that they played well and have improved. It's gotta be hard to switch your entire offensive game plan around when you have a new quarterback in
on the fly.
On the fly, blocking schemes are different. Like play calling is going to be different. That's not an easy thing. So
the rhythm of the offense is completely different. I mean, it was completely different.
Yeah. If you made me give it to somebody, I'd probably just pick the center and cheat, but Brady Small, but the offensive line, I think that was really good. Go ahead with play of the game.
Oh, by the way, all of those runs when they were running over North Texas, virtually at least 90% of those runs were between the tackles. So that's crazy.
Yeah, there was a lot less. We talked about this, right? Dwayne Coleman might be faster than Tyre Teller. I don't know. He doesn't seem as slippery. It's at least close. I guess he's got a little bit more power than Tyre Teller. That's certainly the case. He's certainly bigger, but
yeah.
He even looks like Tyre Teller on some of those interior runs where he slips by a linebacker and can pick up an extra 4 yards just because he got there a half a second early. When I say faster, I don't mean, 40 time. I mean like to the spot, agile. He definitely has that ability. But anyway, sorry. Go ahead. Play of the game.
Play of the game. Jeez. There was one play. And it was just notable, and I think it was probably the third quarter, might have been the fourth quarter. I think it was on that long drive you were talking about when they scored to go down to make it 28-21 in the third quarter. And Dwayne Coleman ran either a called quarterback run or a quarterback follow or, midline option keeper or something like that. And he gets like 5 yards, and there's three North Texas dudes on him, and they're trying to bring him down, and they can't because he's using his legs to power forward. And I was like, holy shit, here's a dude who is 5'10", 185, pushing three North Texas linebackers. And at this point, they hadn't even been on the field that long. I think Army had only had the ball for like 17 minutes. So just as a play that encapsulates what made this game awesome. That was an amazing performance. I mean, it was crazy.
Gotcha. All right. My play of the game, I thought there was no way you weren't going to pick this one. let's go with a fullback 75 yard run,
measure. The big ones are obvious, right? That's like picking Dwayne Coleman as your award player of the game. I mean,
is a backup fullback. I mean,
he's got wheels.
Clearly.
He was so good during the spring game too. He really impressed. Yeah. We wrote about it quite a lot.
It's good to see some depth at that position. Mm-hmm. especially when you don't have 225 pounds at quarterback as a second fullback this year. All right. So last thing I will say about North Texas real quick, despite him never entering the field, nor our position ever entering the field during this game, I think it's pretty cool that their punter is their captain. The only only times he ever came on the field were for the two coin tosses.
Interesting. I had no idea.
Yeah, a little nugget that was on the broadcast, but if you were in stadium, you probably didn't catch. So no punts in this game from either team, which is an interesting one. All right, let's move on. Do you want to do – let's do our commercial first, then.
I'm so excited. Friends, Craig Oxane sponsors this podcast. He is a member of the West Point class of 1994. He is a professional mortgage broker. He works for the Money Store. He's an area sales rep, and he is licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago, one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. So why does this matter, right? Craig is going to offer you super competitive rates when you're trying to get a mortgage. And like, I don't know if you bought a house, but buying a house, getting a mortgage, this process is confusing and freaking terrifying. James, have you bought a house yet?
I have not.
You and Omar, man.
That's because Omar and I moved to our first like major PCS stations when the entire market had gone up like 40 to 50 grand a house in the last 3 months, and it was stupid to buy a house.
Fair enough. Well, at some point when you finally grow up and get that mortgage, because you got the two kids, all you need now is a mortgage to be like a real dad.
Right.
And I mean that in the best possible way, but it's freaking confusing and terrifying, right? You have to sign 2 inches of paperwork, give up something like 4 years of salary. And yeah, for this place that you've been in a handful of times. And when you're doing that, you really don't want to work with some call center, random big box bank, mindless website. Like, you would really, really like to be able to call an actual person and talk to them about the mortgage process. And friends, this is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football. And we're trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we can by introducing you to the very man you need to meet. And, you know, we've said this before, Craig doesn't charge lending fees for veterans. That's a huge savings, like $1,300. Honestly, I think the biggest reason to work with him is just because you're going to work with a guy that you can talk to, that you can trust in a process that's confusing and terrifying. But if that's not good enough, then save yourself $1,300. So Craig Oxane, his link is on the website. Again, go to askforfootball.com. He's got a little business card there. So does Jocelyn. Click on Jocelyn's to get your house and click on Craig's to get your mortgage. This is what we do, right? This, you move in the Army, we're trying to help you.
All right, Dan, go ahead and freak everybody out.
Shall we play a game?
All right, game time. Only one person here, so it's just going to be trivia question style.
All right.
Ask you to give me ranked to make it a little bit harder. You don't have to give it to me in order, but you have to submit a top three in order guess of the top passing quarterbacks in the Jeff Munkin era.
Jesus.
You feel free to talk through it and then come up with a top three order.
Talk amongst yourselves. All right. So let me just say, we can phone a friend. So if you're watching this podcast right now, feel free to throw some opinions up on the screen. It's got to be Kelvin Hopkins off the, as number one, cause he's the only quarterback I can think of who's thrown for 1,000 yards lately. I would think Bryson Daly has got to be up there, cause we thought he was going to hit 1,000 yards passing and he didn't. I want to say Jabari Laws. He was probably the best passer in Army in Jeff Munkin's era, but I don't think he got enough run. And so I guess I'm going to say Christian Anderson in number three.
So your guess is Kelvin, then
Bryson.
Then Bryson, and then Christian Anderson.
Yep.
Now I got to do some stat Googling because I want to know how close you are. Two of them are correct. I'll say two of them are in the top three. None of them are in the correct order.
Kelvin Hopkins has got to be number one. Come on.
Nope.
Okay.
Remember, Kelvin Hopkins had an injury bug during his senior year.
So Christian Anderson's number one?
Nope.
So Bryson Daly's number one?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. All right.
Probably a benefit because that junior year they had the gun option. They were passing a lot more.
So that, he didn't hit very many of those passes. He hit more passes. Well, all right, fair enough.
But yeah, number one is Bryson Daly with 1,920 yards total.
Okay. Number two's got to be Hopkins.
It is.
Okay. So number three is, if it's not Laws or Anderson, I have no idea.
Earlier. And by the way, Bryson Daly did hit 1,000 yards last year.
Passing?
Mm-hmm. 1,007 yards.
Shows what I know. That must include the bowl game.
Correct.
Okay. Geez, Bradshaw, because he had two years?
Bradshaw, yes. He had 1,000, he had 3 years, because in 2015 he had he played in 8 different games, sometimes in trash time, but he had 1,417 yards. Santiago was not a monk in the era.
He was. It was the 2014.
He was, but he didn't have. Year. Yeah, it was only 1 year worth of Munkin. So,
yeah. What a warrior that guy was at quarterback. I mean, that was not the best Army football team ever, and I don't think he was as athletically talented as a lot of these other guys. But Jesus, I liked watching Angel Santiago play.
So Jabari Laws had 617 yards, and now I got to look up Christian Anderson and see how many he had, because he was not in the top three. He had 1,063 over 3 years. His highest was 713. He also had the injury bug, which is part of the problem.
So if Laws had been able to start 2 years, he probably would be number one, because he was the best passer by a mile.
Laws never had more than 300 yards passing in a season. 300.
Yeah, he never finished a season. He was never the starting quarterback for a whole season.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's true. I don't know. I mean, 16 attempts, 300 yards. Yes, he was very good. His sample size was limited, though, so I don't know how that looks over 3 years. But, yeah, so one, Bryson Daly, two, Kelvin Hopkins, and then three, Ahmad Bradshaw. All right.
Well, we'll take that as a win for the home team.
All right. Yeah, a group answer. There we go. Let's move on to East Carolina. They are 2-2. They lost the what did they play in? They played in the Military Bowl, didn't they, last year against NC State and beat them.
Yeah,
and
certainly they did.
Then they lost to NC State to open the season this year. Then they beat their FCS team in Campbell, beat a Coastal Carolina team who has sort of who knows what's happened to that program. Who was the coach that left?
Yeah, they've fallen off a cliff.
Yeah, and then this past Saturday they lost to BYU 34-13. BYU, I believe, is undefeated. I think they're ranked.
A good team, they would be better if they still had Tulane's quarterback. He's the guy that transferred. He got an honor code violation for banging his girlfriend.
Right. Okay. And then he went to Tulane.
Correct.
Right. And then the other Tulane quarterback ended up
went going to Duke.
And they beat Duke. Right.
And they beat the pants off Duke.
So quarterback Caden Hauser, who you guys will remember from last year, I believe he was the backup last year, and then he came into the game.
He was not projected to be. He was one of these power four, failure transfers into. Right. East Carolina, didn't win the starting job out of the gate, came in mid-year, looked like he was still settling into the offense. His first start of the season was at Army, looked like he was still settling into the offense, but in the second half, he torched the Black Knights secondary.
Yes, yes. So it was too little too late, but yes.
Yeah.
Threw two picks this past weekend, including a pick six, but a respectable result in 34-13, especially when you consider a pick six. They did give up over 5 yards of carry to BYU. ECU pass happy yet again this season. Last season, I felt like everyone said going into that game they were going to be run heavy, and then they turned out pass heavy.
Yes.
That might have been a quarterback decision. They run the ball a lot more and they have a lead. Unsurprising. That is true of most teams, unless they're coached by Mike Leach. he's got 1,200 yards on the year already, almost a 70% completion rate. So they're going to throw the ball a lot, especially if they're up, which means that the Army secondary is going to have some work to do. Running back, they have four different running backs, total of 100 carries. They're only averaging about 3.5 yards a carry, but they do have 7 touchdowns. They have a trio of wide receivers, Spalding, Smith, and Smith. Sounds like a law firm. They sort of spread the wealth. No single receiver is a standout. So they'll be spreading the ball around. They also like to spread it out to their tight ends. So it's going to be a lot of bend, don't break, and really trying to condense the defense in the red zone and make sure that they can't score touchdowns when they get down there. That'll be the key to the game here.
I feel like it's hard to project this game a little bit because the way they've played is highly influenced by the people that they've played. You know, they played NC State and they played BYU, and in both those games, they fell behind early and tried to catch up. So obviously they were throwing the ball. They played Campbell and they played Coastal Carolina. In both those games, they beat the brakes off the other team and they were just running the clock out. So I really, like, I don't know what to do with some of what I was looking at today, and I'm curious to see what they do. But if it was me, I'd run the ball at this Army defense.
I will say, I believe it's now the largest after some of the departures. If you are not aware of ECU football, and you are now only aware because Army is in the American, you are going to learn that Dowdy Ficken Stadium is a hard place to play football. I believe it is now the largest football stadium in the American. I don't know that, but it's 51,000. They sell a lot of tickets. They are a very old and proud program. It is a very hard place to play. It was almost like a running joke that, for whatever reason, ECU and Navy always played super well at home, but Navy would always win on the road and ECU would always win on the road. Like, it was just a weird thing. So Dowdy Ficken, very, very hard place to play. No result. It's like Iowa in the Big Ten. Like, even if Iowa sucks, you don't want to play at Kinnick. All right. Defense. They have a good defense, very good rushing defense, ranked 20th. A lot of these stats, though, I'll be honest, this early in the year, only 4 games under your belt, a lot of that are going to be affected by the teams that you play. Later in the year, in conference, it can start to get a little bit more telling. I don't put too much stock into yards per carry until we get a little bit further in. They did hold NC State and CCU to under 3 yards a carry, and they're doing that on the year as well, which is good. But a lot of that might be the function of how their opponents have called plays. They have 10 sacks, 6 forced fumbles, and 3 interceptions. That's the scariest thing to me, right? If Army is fumbling the football, they do not have a chance in this game.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
And ECU's D-line looks really big. And, you know, one thing I noticed as I was going through this is they have a ton of guys who have, like, 2 sacks. So they are platooning good defensive linemen into the game, and they're making plays.
The thing that I remember most about prepping for and then during the ECU game last year was how disciplined their disciplined their edge linemen and their outside linebackers were in against the option. Yep. And they were, I feel like, and I don't remember because I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I feel like that was the first game all year where Army was, like, really challenged at making reads, making the right read at exactly the right time, because they did it, granted, but they really had to because Eastern Carolina was so good there. Anyway, that's sort of all I have. As far as special teams go, Nick Mazzy, I don't know, something like that. He is 8 of 8 on extra points and 4 of 6 on field goals. He has missed 1 chip shot and 1 50-plusser. The punter is very good. He averages over 45 yards a punt. And has dropped a bunch inside the 20, so they will have the punting advantage. Our punt game generally averages right around 40. Their running back London Montgomery has a 53-yard return and a 28-yard return so far. Obviously, the Black Knights struggled against Kansas State as far as that goes, and then they had the issue in the onside kick, surprise onside kick, where they gave North Texas the ball near midfield during the last game. So that's about all I got on special teams, Dan.
I'm scared a little bit of that about that. Kick return. Yeah, I don't think Army's kick return coverage has been very good this season, which is weird because usually they're very good, but this year not so much. So you want me to take weather and the betting line or
sure, talk about I got a question real quick.
Okay.
What? I've always wondered this. Why, if you have had issues like Army has had this
year
with the kick return game.
Okay.
Army kicked the field goal. There was, 2 seconds left in the game last week?
Correct.
So they have to kick off.
Yes.
I'm kicking that out of bounds. If my kicker can't put it out the end of the end zone, I'm taking the penalty and having him kick it out of bounds. It goes to what, the 35 then, or the 40 correct. Instead?
No, it goes to the 35.
I'd rather them run a play from scrimmage from their own 35 than give them a chance.
They did run a play. Did they run a play from scrimmage?
No, I think it was they tried to return it, and then that was it.
Yeah. That's an interesting point. I mean, yeah, sure. They certainly weren't going to try for a 65-yard, long bomb. Why would that's madness? Too much crazy stuff can happen there.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. You can take weather better line.
Yeah. So, this is going to be our first rain game, expecting temperatures in the low to mid 70s and showers Thursday night, thunderstorms possible, going to be humid and probably wet and slick. I don't think I'm very excited about that with an Army team that's been putting the ball on the ground. Betting line opened at Army plus 2.5. Last time I checked, it was Army plus 5.5. I'm not shocked by that considering the way the game went. And also ECU manhandled Coastal, which is probably the closest comparable on their schedule. So, if Army was getting a touchdown, I don't think I would have argued with that. The over under sitting at 52.5, and I'm definitely not taking the under again. So what can you do, man? Crazy.
All right. My thoughts. I didn't know that it was supposed to rain, and I'm sort of happy about it, honestly.
Oh, you're out of your mind.
I'll put it this way. When Michigan had lost, for those who don't know, Rob is the Ohio State fan. I'm the Michigan fan. When Michigan had lost however many it was in a row, and they were finally getting good enough in the later Harbaugh years where it looked like they could win, it made me so happy to see 80% chance of snow, sleeting rain, the whole nine. Because all of a sudden now Ryan Day can't take shots from the 45-yard line to the end zone.
Okay.
And if he does, it's a very, very low percentage.
Sure.
Now he's got to take high percentage shots underneath. They're not guaranteeing first downs, the whole nine. If Army is going to lose this game because the ball slips out in the rain, then I just have to accept the fact that Army's going to fumble the football out this year, and they're not very good at holding on to it. If the rain is the differentiator between how good how well your offense can hold on to the football, we've already lost. That's already behind us, right? I like the fact that if they're going to throw long, they have to do it on soggy turf. And I don't even know, is Dowdy Ficken grass or is it turf? Because if it's grass,
I don't know.
That's even better. But now you have to throw the ball. You have to throw the ball, which is what they want to do. They got to throw it in the wet. Their receivers are handling a slippery ball. Their quarterback's handling a slippery ball. He's not going to throw it as accurately. I like that. I want it muddied up. That being said, this is just going to be bend, don't break. Army secondary has not shown that they are capable of handling a threat like East Carolina's offense.
Yeah.
Over the course of 60 minutes, they have shown that they can make stops in big moments against ground runs, but they didn't against North Texas. A lot of times they didn't have to. They just didn't get put in that situation much against North Texas because North Texas was throwing the ball even in the red zone. But they can make those stops. So they just have to get there. There's going to be a lot of bend, don't break. If it's raining and they have to throw the ball more, thank you. Natural grass. I love it. I want muddy natural grass. I want wide receivers with their cleats sinking into the mud. Like That's the way Army wins this game, is wide receivers just like turning 30-yard shots into 8-yard shots and then having a few incompletions, and all of a sudden now it's fourth down on your own 45. That's the recipe.
So the thing that this puts me in mind of is that Boston College game that was just the worst game that I've ever been to. You know, rain and sideways. Bryson Day, we went like 9 of 11 passing, and the only incompletions on the day were one he threw out of bounds and one that a tight end dropped going into the end zone that ended up being the play that cost him the game. And man, what a crazy game that was. So miserable in the stands. So we'll see if maybe, you know, and here we are. I've been assuming that it was going to be Cale Helms because Dwayne Coleman left with an injury. Coach Munkin said that it was a pull, not a pull, that it was a cramp. So, you know, calf cramps are painful as all hell, but I would think he could recover by Thursday, which when it happened, I thought there was no way in hell that we were going to see him Thursday. So who knows? I will say the way Army wins any game is to run the ball, stop the run, and avoid turnovers. And when they do all three, they win almost all the time. Against Kansas State, they won with that formula, right? But if they only do two of those three, they've got probably a 50 to 60% chance to win. And lately, they've only been doing one of those three, which is running the ball, but they haven't been stopping the run and they haven't been avoiding turnovers. And we've still gone to overtime twice. So that gives me hope, but I don't know that it excites me about a play, a game in the freaking rain. And I don't even know how wet it's going
to
be.
And you're far removed from the Army at this point. Like,
you think so?
You're supposed to love the rain. All right. Like, it's
That's fine. You know what I did after I got out of the Army? I became an overhead construction supervisor in the South freaking Bronx. And let me tell you, I also did that shit in the rain. Plenty.
There you go. I'm sure you're being compensated better for that, though.
Yeah, for sure. Yes.
Makes the rain taste a little bit sweeter. All right, let's move on to fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
Do we have liability insurance for people's eardrums? All right. Well, I don't have the revisited fact.
No, these, despite what it says in the outline, these are the ones that are left over from last week.
Okay, gotcha. So Dan says Army rushes for 350 yards. That was fact. Omar says Army intercepts Drew Mestemaker for the first time this year. That was fiction. And Brian Brennan says the defense scores. That was fiction. All right. This week, I'm going to turn into Jordan. So if you're in the Firsty Club, go ahead and make your suggestions.
I feel like dropping in there.
I feel like when you're the host, you have to take on that persona, right? there you go. Thanks to Ray.
Yeah, right. You got to know the crowd, man. I mean, these guys have already heard the guns firing. It's too late.
You can go sue 3M, not us. Dan, why don't you take the first fact or fiction?
So I wrote this before Coach Munkin started talking about Cale Helms making reads, but I'm going to say that Cale Helms makes some obvious option run reads between the tackles this week. And there's two parts of that because he might not even play. And the second part is, you know, how will we necessarily even know? But that's still my fact or fiction this week, because I think he's been running a lot of power, which suits his skill set, but they got to let him do a little more. That's my opinion.
I agree with that. I don't feel like, I feel like that's always a matter of trust.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think that they're going, even if he does start, they're going to trust him after the turnovers. So I'm going to go
fiction. You're on fiction. All right. I will say fact, even though I don't know if I agree with that. I guess it's more like wish casting out to the universe, but I guess we'll see. I don't think it's easy. I think it's tough to learn, and definitely on a short week. So who knows?
I am going to go with Army forces multiple red zone field goals.
How many? So two or more?
Two or more.
Oh, I'll go fact. These guys haven't been great in the red zone this season. That running game has been okay. Like, North Texas had an amazing running game coming into this game. Like, we knew they had a good running game. We think of them as a pass-happy team, but they've been averaging 7 yards per carry or something absurd. So they've been running on everybody. That's not what East Carolina does.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I think that's good. I think that's a fact agreement. Quick update for everyone. Just a fact check from earlier. Largest stadium in the American is Temple, which is a cheat because they're in the Eagles. And then second is South Florida because they're in the Buccaneer Stadium. But if you want true college campuses, then the Dowdy Ficken is number two to the Alamo Dome. Which you know you can
argue Alamo about. Dome's also not on campus, but it's still
it is a college stadium, but it's also not really because it was built to entice an NFL team, not to get UTSA to start a football program. That being said, number two college only football stadium in terms of size.
So let me just say, I went on looking at tickets for this game, and they are not selling tickets to like the two outermost sections on both sides of the stadium.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I obviously 51,000 fans in the middle of nowhere, North Carolina is.
It's Greenville. It's not the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. It's not in the triangle. Charlotte's selling out their 15,000, you know, person stadium in the middle of a city, and that's unimpressive. I think it's impressive that Greenville, they're at least selling a decent majority of seats. That's about all we got for that. Let's move on to mailbag.
You've got mail.
There are a bunch. We don't have to do all. We picked three last week, so you know, do whatever. I made some notes, but do whatever you want.
All right, let's start with this one. Do we have a quarterback problem? No real number one. Neither have played consistently well game to game. Both have shown signs, but is either the guy? I have some thoughts on this.
That one's from Walt Ricker.
Thanks, Walt. I have some thoughts on this. I shared them earlier in the year in the preseason. I sort of don't care. There are two reasons to start a quarterback. Number one, you think it's the best chance for you to win that game, or number two, because you think between now and when that quarterback graduates, him playing as many games as possible is the best recipe of success to win the most amount of games in that time. So to the extent that they think that Helms can be their starter next year and that more practice would be good for him. In other words, a daily cooking year 2 years ago, I would prefer Helms to start, even if that means maybe one or two games where you're less competitive this year.
And arguably we already saw those.
Sure. I sort of have less stock in it. I'm not going to name anyone specifically, but I remember at the beginning of the 2023 season, there were people covering Army football that saw the ULM game and they're like, well, we don't have a quarterback. It's like, well, we don't need a quarterback, dude. This isn't the New York Giants. Like, what? we need a really good running back that knows how to make decisions and throw every once in a while. Like, I don't know, you know, to me, it's just, if you think there's like the CIC games, fine, start the guy you think is going to be the best. And I'd even argue, okay, if you think that Coleman is your best chance to beat Air Force this year and to beat Navy this year, then start him, even if that means that Helms won't get as much development for next year. Like, I'm cool with that reasoning. But I just don't care about a random game against an American opponent unless, like, you are in it to win the conference championship. You're, like, a contender and then a contender on the national stage. Like, I get that, but right now I want development. Like, I could care about who matches up better against East Carolina.
So I'm going to say that I'm worried because both the guys have had bad games and both the guys have had outstanding games. And the hardest thing to me in sports is being your best self on the day that you're supposed to be your best self. Like, anybody that works hard and really cares about what they're doing can go in and have a good practice on a Tuesday. But doing it when you really need to have a good day, like today is the day and I really got to be my best self, doing it on demand is challenging. And so I think the mental part of this, the emotional part of it, is where both guys need to get better. And I guess we'll see how that shakes out. Personally, I think Dwayne Coleman did enough for me to give him more chances from what I've seen right now. But I also think he's played in two games and he's gotten hurt in both. We're very obviously going to need Cale Helms this season, and he needs to be able to run the full offense. So, you know, I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah, and I, to be honest, I don't trust. I know that he has a good arm.
Helms?
No, I'm talking about Coleman.
Oh,
I know he has a good arm, but those Tarleton State interceptions, like.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily. I get he did well this past game when we needed it, but I'd sort of like I kind of like Coleman in a Tyre Tyler offense, and I feel like they're trying to push that a little bit further to pass more than Tyre would have. But I'm not there yet.
I think Coleman has a good arm. When I have seen him throw, I have thought he had a good arm. I think that he let his emotions get out of hand at Tarleton State. I've been in that situation, and I know what that feels like. You know, sometimes you catch lightning in a bottle, but sometimes you shoot it down your leg. And so you got to, as an athlete, you got to get over that, and you just got to learn to be consistent. But that shit is not easy.
I get that, but I guess the other side of that is at Tarleton, both of those interceptions came with a lead. Right. It wasn't.
Yeah.
That's the concerning part of it. But anyway, I don't want to dredge on any of the players. I know they're all, as you said, it's very hard. I guess my general opinion is, if it's about winning a CIC game, great. Then get the guy to practice. Otherwise, whoever's going to develop the most by playing that week is who I
want. If they drop enough games to not make it to a bowl game this season, it will be a pretty badly missed opportunity, in my opinion. Other than that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Andrew Gertis, small sample size, but does beginning of the season make Monken place more emphasis on recruiting and fielding bigger quarterbacks? So I have a few thoughts about this. Number one, let's not pretend like we can go recruit another Bryson Daly. Getting a 225-pound quarterback to run the triple option and also have a decent enough arm to pass, reasonably often is not something that you just go out and search for and recruit every 4 years, right? That's a that is a special player. So, yes, I think that's the case. Now, I think that inevitably complex passing schemes are going to have to become a part of Army's offense with how the cut blocking rules are working. I think Coleman, and I think that until he got hurt this year in summer camp, Ethan Washington were prime suspects to be able to run the option and also handle a complex passing scheme. Yep. and had the talent to do it. Big is nice. It works well if you have a really dominant offensive line and you have a good fullback and you have a big quarterback. But last year, I think, was a little bit of a perfect storm, and I don't think you can rely on that year in and year out.
So the part that I disagree with is that I think we've already seen this. They've got at least one plebe right now in there, and I want to say it's God's power, but it might be somebody else who is like 6'2", 230. So if you look at who they got on the roster, they've already got at least one or two bigger dudes.
I agree they're waiting their turn right now. I agree they're bigger. I don't think he's that big. The biggest one outside, they have one plebe, 230, Blake Owen. That's the one. God's Power, who is 211, so that's good. Blake Owen, who knows? I don't know the freshman. Maybe he can't.
We'll see how these guys shake out. Like, we've never seen these dudes. Have never seen them, but yeah.
Right. So, but there's a difference between you can't just stick a 231-pound quarterback in there because he's 231 pounds. He's also got to be able to run the out. But yes, I do think that size is good. I think that Navy is also proving that to an extent over the last couple of years. I think that size at quarterback really matters a lot more than it used to with the latest set of cut blocking rules. So that's a great question. Let's go up to Mike Davis. You want to pick one of those, Dan?
How concerned are you that Nate Woody's soft zone scheme has been figured out and the tape will be available to all these terms in terms of how to beat it? You want to start or you want me to start?
You start.
So that soft zone's not going anywhere. We talked about that last week. And I believe in the soft zone, but the problem is it falls apart when you're giving up running plays. The whole point is you're going to do the soft zone so you can stop the run and get heat on the quarterback. And if the cost of that is giving up quick outs, well, okay, that's the cost. But if you're also giving up 5-yard runs at the same time, you're giving up quick outs. Now, if you haven't taken anything away, they're just killing you. So right now, and also, by the way, Army's red zone defense is tied for dead last in the FBS. Opponents have scored on 100% of their red zone trips this season. 6 rushing touchdowns, 2 passing touchdowns, 6 field goals. Like, that's a disaster for what that soft zone is trying to accomplish. So,
yes and no. Yeah. So, caveat, I hate that stat.
Red zone. Oh, yeah. Well, okay. So they forced 6 field goals and they've given up 8 touchdowns.
Right. That's when they've gotten to the red zone, they have a 6 of 14 success rate, in my opinion.
8. 8 of 14.
They've forced 6 field goals. And
our defense has. Yeah. Okay. Yes. And you would, if that was flipped, if they had allowed 6 touchdowns and
forced a bunch of field goals, they'd be top third of college football. You're like, yeah, so because you can't always rely on the turnovers and the going for it on fourth downs and things like that. Last year, you could. Last year, they had an elite red zone defense, but a lot of that had to do with the offense getting out to an early lead, and absolutely, then these teams felt like they had to go for it on fourth down in the red zone.
North Texas went for it on fourth down relentlessly just this past game for this, because they remembered that shit. And you know what? If they hadn't done that, they probably would have lost a game.
Mm-hmm. Let's do 2 more. Terry Brannan. Acknowledging player execution errors such as missed tackles and fumbles/interceptions, which coordinator needs to up their game more going forward, Worley or Woody? I didn't know that they were both. I mean, I knew they were both W's, but I never put that in my head. I think that's kind of cool. The W's we're going to go with from now on. So
I think it was banned on X from both coordinators.
Good. I don't want them reading or listening to our stuff anyway. And that's not because I don't like them. I just, they have more important stuff to do. Cool. So I'm going to take this as, in other words, outside of player execution, who has the most to prove schematically, so on and so forth. I'm going to go with Woody. I think Worley has already made the biggest improvement that he has to make this year, in that the offensive line looks like at least a remnant of what it was last year, whereas in game one, it did not. So Worley's made the biggest change that he has to make. Now the execution is a question, but schematically he's done what he needs to do to set the blueprint for success. Woody's problem right now is the defensive line. They're not getting pressure on the quarterback. They're not plugging holes. And you can include in the defensive,
the front seven.
Yeah. And not even the outside linebackers, really the interior linebackers and defensive line. Those 5 players have really struggled. That needs to get figured out. I don't know if it's schematic. I don't know if it's just that we lost a defensive lineman and a couple linebackers. I don't know what it is, but that still needs to get solved. Whereas Worley's biggest issue has been solved.
They definitely lost their starting nose tackle, and that's not great.
Yeah, and one of their D-line, who is it, has been out for a few games. One of their D-linemen has been out.
Yeah, the nose tackle.
I'm saying we lost one to graduation, and then
– No. The current nose tackle, Cody Harris, is a cow. Yes, he's an outstanding player, arguably the best player on that defense, and he's been out since Tarleton State. So that's a huge difference.
But it's still a problem that's got to get solved nonetheless. Yeah.
I don't know if that's a scheme thing, but Woody's the one who's got to make some kind of correction, because they're doing what is supposed to be done, and it's not working. So they're asking if he's done for the year, and Cody Harris-Mill is done for the year. I don't think he's done for the year. They keep saying he's just not he's just not active today. And I think if he was done for the year, they would say he was done for the year. So let's hope not.
I think he was one of the big outs at Notre Dame last year.
Yeah.
That was a problem. I think he was out for the rest of the season. All right. Let's take one from David Graves. There we go. We can go 2 directions. Either we continue turning the ball over and season goes away at 2023, where we had 20 turnovers in the first 8 games, or we fix the turnovers and compete to win the CIC trophy and go to a bowl. Which direction does this team go? I mean, that's sort of the thing, right?
It is.
I don't think this defense is a bad defense against Navy and Air Force.
Yeah.
I think that they're a good run defense. Now, there are a couple of, like, I would be a little bit worried about getting beat deep once or twice, and maybe got to get lucky on one of those with a holding or a miss throw. But generally speaking, I think this would be a good triple option defense. If they don't fumble the football, they have a chance in those games. Like, their offensive line is there. We talked about it last year ad nauseum. If Navy goes to an American Championship game and Army has 2 weeks to draw up a playbook, that's an advantage. Like, I don't think they're out of those games by any stretch. So I think they'll get the turnover bug figured out. I don't think there's a coach in the country better at turning around the turnover bug than going from watching AJ put the ball on the grass four times a game in Munkin's second year to turning around and having one of the most disciplined offenses with Ahmad Bradshaw in 2016.
Yeah.
So I have some faith in that, but that's sort of my thought.
Yeah. So I sort of disagreed with the premise in the sense that in 2023, they accomplished everything that you would really want to accomplish, except that they didn't win six games in time to qualify for a bowl game. So that sucks. But, you know, you won the CIC trophy, you got it fixed and set yourself up for a great year. And if that's where we end this year, considering how things started, I think we'll all walk away happy.
Yeah.
They got to eliminate those turnovers and they got to figure out that running defense. And I think they'll be fine. And of the two, I'm probably more concerned about that running defense. So I guess we'll see.
All right. I think we're both going to have a favorite thing. You want to end on a positive note or me bashing something?
Oh, bash something. Don't end on a downer.
Okay. So I'll bash something first then. And then you can talk about yours. So I just got back from a vacation and I went to Disney, which was exactly what I thought it would be.
Why? That's like a tax. On
why did
father.
I go? Yeah. Why did I go?
I don't know. I refused to take my kids to Disney when they were little and they told me I was abusing them. And I was
if I had to pay a cent for it, I wouldn't have done it. But the in-laws promise. So, all right. I agree. That's a fair point. Disney would be so much more palatable, bearable. It wouldn't be the worst day of my life every day if there weren't like childless 60-year-olds in electric vehicles going around. Like, what are you doing there? What are you doing in Disney World without any children in an electric vehicle? You're just making everyone's life hell. Stop it. Stop it. There's no reason for you to be there.
Oh, man, that's funny.
They make lines longer. They make sidewalks skinnier. It's awful.
That's hysterical.
Those people. Anyway, go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, no, my favorite thing was just seeing my buddies. We had a huge tailgate, had a bunch of cadets. And it's so crazy because my buddy Matt is the field force officer for the Houston area. And so he recruits all these kids and he's probably got 50 something kids now that he's recruited that we've gotten to know over the years. And so we had like a changing of the guard this year where the ones that we started with 4 years ago are now firsties. And there was a whole new crop of plebes and it was really surreal. And, you know, this one girl, Gabby, is an electrical engineer. And, you know, she showed me her freaking homework. We've talked about like what it's like to be a professional engineer and work in the industry and that sort of thing. She's taken Army's bulk power class, which is pretty weird. You know, not many colleges offer bulk power. So that was my favorite thing, was just, you know, getting to see my buddies, getting to see the cadets. You know, West Point is still West Point, even with all the madness going on in society. So that was awesome. And that was my favorite thing.
All right. Well, I think that does it. Let's go beat some Pirates.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to this week's Ask for Football Army Football Show. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into Army football. Remember, whether you're cheering in the stands or following along from home, get all your updates on the Army football team at askforfootball.com. And as a special thanks, we would like to thank our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you need. Visit jocelynbradley.com for all your real estate needs. Don't forget, subscribe, leave us a review, and follow us on social media for all the latest updates. Until next time, go Army, beat Navy!